We are not in Revelation this morning. Oh, I heard that. I also heard, yippee, that in the back. All right. But we are going to mention it, actually, because part of it, in fact, the very next section I'll be preaching on in Revelation goes along with this. But we're in Luke. Luke chapter 1. Going to be looking at a very familiar passage, a passage that we've looked at a few other times before, actually. But I think it's very, very much part of the celebration that we're going to be having at Christmas. Going to be looking at the announcement of the birth of Christ to Mary. We're going to be looking at half of it today. Next week, we'll finish it. Luke chapter 1. Going to be reading verses 26 to 33. And next week, we'll finish off this section, but today we'll be reading from 26 to 33, Luke chapter 1. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for this promise, this fulfillment of prophecy, Lord. What was prophesied hundreds and hundreds of years before that. Lord God, it came about. Father, it's amazing that what you say in your word will always happen, will always come about, because your word is truth. Lord God, there's so much in this world that we are skeptical of. There's so much that so many people, especially around the voting season. Father, we have so many people who say one thing and there's no way they can actually accomplish these things. Lord God, there's so many people who make promises and yet often, not often, but sometimes they're just not true. They can't fulfill them. But Father God, what you say in your word is absolute truth. You will always fulfill what you promise. And we're so grateful, Lord God, that we can know that. Not just guess at it. We can know that. Father, thank you. Because we have, what we have at Christmas time, we have a fulfillment of prophecy. We have where Old Testament scriptures talked about the fact that it was going to be a virgin birth, the fact that he would be born in Bethlehem, the fact that he would be out of the line of David. And it's coming true. Lord, it came true in your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you so much that we have a firm foundation in what your word says. We love you. We honor you. Help us today to understand again what Mary really had to go through, Father, and Lord God, what that means to us. Love you in Christ's name. Amen. What we're looking at today is the announcement of the birth of Christ. We're doing this week, and then next week I'll finish this section up. But I want you to see this again and anew from Mary's perspective. See what happened and what's going on. So we're going to look at the when, the where, and the who here in the first couple of verses. Look at verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth. The sixth month. What sixth month? Well, it was the sixth month of the birth of John. Actually, it was Elizabeth. Elizabeth had become pregnant. Now we need to know that because Gabriel was the one who came to Elizabeth and told Elizabeth, or to Zechariah, Elizabeth's husband, said, "Hey, you're going to have a kid." And Zechariah said, "Prove it." And he said, well, you aren't going to talk until the kid's born, all right? So he gave him a sign. He wanted a sign because Elizabeth was old. Zacharias was old, so it was a miraculous birth in and of itself. But that was 6 months before. And in the sixth month of that pregnancy, Gabriel comes to Mary. He was sent by God. We want to recognize that. Gabriel is the speaking angel. He's just a messenger. It's not where the message originated from. It came from God. So this is all part of God's plan. It originated from his sovereign will. But look where he came. He came to a city in Galilee called Nazareth. Now, we happened to be able to visit Nazareth when we were in Israel this year. We got to go and see Nazareth. And you know what? Not really spectacular even now. All right? Not great. And it's up on a hill. And so you went up there, and that's why it was easy to see where when they tried to throw Jesus off the cliff, and he walked through their midst. We actually went to one of the cliffs there. We went to one of the areas. It's from Nazareth. You can overlook, and you can see the Valley of Jezreel, which is where the Armageddon is going to be. The Battle of Armageddon is going to be. But Nazareth is not. I mean, it says to the city of Nazareth. Nazareth, it's like kind of like saying to the city of Hillsboro or the city of Stockport. Well, we don't really think of that as a city, do we? I mean, it's a town. It's a rural community. Well, that's what Nazareth is. Especially in that day, it probably had a few hundred people. And it wasn't on any of the main routes. That's why it's such a shock. It's such a shock when later on, when people are calling Jesus the Messiah, and the Pharisees, the Sadducees say, well, can anything good come from Nazareth? It's about 75 to 100 miles north of Jerusalem. It's on up there a ways. And the region is Galilee. It's where the Sea of Galilee is. And you know, it's just not a very important city, town, rural community. It's not very important. It's not big. It's not important, which is a shock. Because the Messiah was important. He was an important person, and he should have come from a great line of important people and come in Jerusalem, born in Jerusalem, and born, you know, to an important family. He wasn't. This was an unimportant family. It was an unimportant city. It was an unimportant region, even. Galilee. Wasn't highly thought of. But that's where Gabriel came, and he came to them specifically, to Mary. But it wasn't where it was expected that the Messiah would come from. So in verse 27 it says, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. So here's our introduction to Mary. She was a virgin, and the word virgin here specifically means to not know a man, to not know a man intimately. Not, you know, she doesn't know any guys. No, to know him intimately. So she has never had any relations with a man, and yet, and that was what was prophesied actually in the Old Testament. And it's amazing. I heard a sermon this week on that, the Old Testament prophecy of a virgin, and I think I'm going to at some point do a study on that, because it's really fascinating how part of that was fulfilled even before this. But the words literally in the New Testament were changed to someone who did not know a man. And it was specific for the birth of Christ. And so all of this was prophesied in the Old Testament. And here Gabriel was coming to announce this. And he specifically came to this virgin whose name was Mary, but she was engaged to a man named Joseph. And this Joseph was of the line of David, the legal line of David, right? Because there was actually a couple of lines coming from, but the legal line from David, God had cursed one of the kings and said, there's not going to be a king after you. This was the last king there. There's not going to be one after you. And so the Messiah could not come from his line. But it could come from Mary's line, and we see Mary's genealogy in another book. But that's what makes this all so amazing. It's God put this together. So not only was Christ legally from the kingly line of David, but he was humanly from the kingly line of David too. both. So through his father, he was legal. Through his mother, it was a human connection because she came from the line of David, which was a requirement for the Messiah. So all of that, just to say that this is an amazing birth. This is exactly how God wanted it to happen, all right? Let's get to verse 28. Here we're going to look at the message that was given. And coming in, which means he came into the home, which is amazing, because here we have, by the way, Mary was most likely, she was engaged to Joseph, okay? And the engagement, the word engagement there was literally betrothal. And so in those days, you had a betrothal, you had the fathers come together and say, hey, my daughter wants to marry your husband or your son, or they're interested in each other, or else I don't care if they're interested in each other, you know, we're going to put them together, whatever. And it wasn't that they excluded the kids. Oftentimes the kids won't, but anyway, they put them together. But the girls were most likely between 12 and 13 when that contract happened. And it was a legally binding contract. And at that point, the girl went home with her parents, the guy went home with his, and he started preparing to have a wife. So he would build on to the family home, and he would prepare and get his work set out and get his assets in place, and so at some point he could go and get his bride. But it was almost always at least a year's period. And during that time, he had time to prepare, and she was shown as being pure. So in other words, if she became pregnant during that time, guess what? She would die. She could die. Because it was the only way out of this contract, even though they've never been together, the only way out of this contract was either divorce or death. Right? And if she became pregnant, that was qualification to be stoned. So here's Mary, probably 12 or 13 years old. Most likely going to wait for a year and then get married. This was the whole plan. This was the whole way it was. So I asked McKenna how old she was this morning. See, that's why I asked you. She's 15. She would have already been married. You know, we look at that and we say, wait a second, that's pretty young. Yes, it is. But that was their culture. That's what they did, right? So Mary was probably 12 or 13. Now, take that into verse 28. Coming in, Gabriel, an angel, I don't know how he looked, but he was an angel, and most likely he looked a little bit like one anyway. Coming in, he said to her, greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. And when he said that, we're going to see a reaction, all right? But I want you to look at that. Greetings, favored one. The word greetings is kairo in the original language. Kairo, and it means joy. Joy to you. So here's an angel walking into the home, most likely uninvited, saying joy to you. And then he said something more. He said favored one. The word favored one is karatao, which comes from the word charis, which is the word grace. So I want you to see that kairo and charis are closely together. You have joy and you have grace. Why? Why are they so related? Well, number one, if you recognize God's grace in your life, you're going to have joy. If you recognize how God has given us grace, then you are going to have joy from that. I'm not talking about happy, right? Happy comes from the word happenstance. It comes from the word circumstance, which means if my circumstances are good, I'm happy. But even if my circumstances are lousy, I can still have joy. He says, joy to you, one who has been graced. And by the way, that word grace there, that word to be graced, it's in the perfect tense, which means that you've been graced fully, completely. It's in the passive voice, which means that grace has been put upon you. And it's in it's a participle, which means it's an ongoing process. You are going to ongoing, you have this grace ongoing. All right? So this grace is amazing. We're going to look at what that grace is in just a minute. But he says, the Lord is with you. Right? So here it is, 12 or 13 year old girl, this guy that's probably shining, I don't know, he's anyway, I think she recognized there's something different about him. He comes in and he says that. And guess what her reaction is? Look at her reaction, verse 29. But she was greatly perplexed at this statement, kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. You know, that sounds really good in the English, doesn't it? She was great, but it's like she was going, huh, whoa, I just don't get it. That's not what she was doing, all right? The word greatly perplexed literally means greatly troubled, to throw into great confusion. In other words, in English, it means she's scared silly. She's scared to death. This guy's coming in, and he's saying, grace you. She's scared to death. And she's trying to figure out, when it says she's pondering, she's trying to figure out, what is he talking about? What is this being saying to me? I'm just a 12 or 13-year-old girl. And he's saying this crazy stuff to me. He's pondering this, considering, carefully thinking about it. Because this is a flood of very difficult information. It's all new. It's all scary. And Gabriel recognized that, because look at verse 30. The angel said to her, what? Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Do not be afraid. All right? You know how often the angel said, do not be afraid? Why? Because they're scary. Because they are fearful beings. I don't want one to stand before me. I mean, it would be really cool, right? No, it would be scary to have an angel. They're powerful. Right? And here is this 12 or 13-year-old girl scared to death. And the angel says, do not be afraid, because you have found favor. You know what the word favor is? Same word, charis. You have found grace with the Lord. And by saying the Lord, he means master, with the one who is in charge. You have found, and by the way, the word found, you have found, it's the word eureka. We get our word eureka. Whoa, eureka, you found grace. So what does that grace look like? Because we always think, hey, you know, this is amazing, this is wonderful. I mean, Mary was given grace here. But what's that grace look like? Think about it for a minute. What does that grace look like for Mary? I mean, we look back and say, oh, Mary was so blessed. What does that grace look like? An unwed pregnancy at a time when you could be stoned for having an unwed pregnancy. I mean, Joseph was a good man, and he was going to divorce her quietly so that she wouldn't die. You could face death. Unwed pregnancy. How about the stigma throughout your life of that unwed pregnancy? Remember later on when the Pharisees told Jesus, hey, aren't we right in saying you're an illegitimate child? Remember that? That just went throughout her life. How about the grace of being a widow? It's because she was when Christ died. How about the grace of watching your child die on a cross? How about the grace of being so poor that your child's disciple has to take care of you? We look and say, oh, Mary was so blessed, so graced. Grace is not, sometimes not the easiest thing. And yet if Mary had not said what she said later, if Mary had not given herself to this, where would we be? God's plan was to grace her, said it several times, to grace her, but it wasn't an easy life for her, and it scared her to death right then. That's what we see. Those words literally mean that she is scared to death, and she can't get it. She can't comprehend it. It goes beyond whatever she can imagine, but that's God's grace. It's having to go through something that God is leading you through. And yet, the angel said what? Greetings, he said, joy to you. You can be graced by God. Joy to you, you're going to be graced by God. Look at verse 31. It says, and behold, anytime you see in Scripture, you see the word behold, it means catch this. And catch this, you want to catch this. You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call him Jesus. You will conceive. Guess what? That is in what's in the Greek is called the middle voice. In other words, you in and of yourself are going to conceive, and her mind is going, whoa, again, whoa. And she'll voice that. Next week, we'll look at her question. How can that be? All right, so we'll look at that question. Because that's an impossibility to her. She's 12 and 13. She knows that's impossible. She absolutely knows it. But look what he says. He said, and by the way, catch that. You shall name him Jesus. All right, so that was thought out long ahead of time. Verse 32. He will be great, which is an understatement. He will be great and called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. See how he... This is a fulfillment of the prophecy. It says he will be great, called the Son of the Most... You know what? When Christ was on earth, he very rarely used that he was the Son of God, the Son of the Most High. Very rarely used that title on himself. He, most of the time, he says the Son of Man. Come as the Son of Man. He was the Son of Man. All right? But sometimes he did, but it was pretty rare. But this was to show his deity, the fact that God incarnate has come to earth. He has come. God has come to earth in the form of Jesus. All right? This is to show that. Now, remember, Gabriel is telling Mary, this 12-year-old girl, what she has learned through listening to the scriptures, through listening to her father, through what she, her culture, she has learned that you're talking about the Messiah, the one who's going to rule on his, on the throne of his father David. You're talking about the Messiah, and she's sitting here taking this all in, and I'm going to get pregnant. And I'm going to have this child and name him Jesus. And you're talking about the one who's going to reign. Look what it says. Verse 32. He'll be great. He'll be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Look at verse 33. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will have no end. Remember what we were studying last week? The fact of his reign starting in, it was the end of Revelation chapter 2. I'm sorry, chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11. Because Revelation chapter 11, the end of it, is talking about the end of the tribulation. When Christ comes back, he's going to set up his kingdom, millennial kingdom. That kingdom is going to go on. There's going to be a war at the end of it, 1,000 years, and then the eternal kingdom is going to be set up. But Christ is going to be the king over for from that point on forever. All right. Well, guess what? Chapter 12. I almost preached on it today. Revelation 12. Because I'm just going to read the first few verses. Revelation 12 says, a great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and her head on her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was with child. And she cried out, being in labor and in pain, to give birth. This is called, you know what? That woman is Israel. We'll learn that. All right. In several weeks, we'll learn that. Then another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and his on his heads were 10 diadems, crowns, and his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth, the angels that had fallen. And the dragon, being Satan, stood before the woman who was about to give birth so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. Right? The next verse says, and she gave birth to a son, a male child, who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Guess what? That's Christ. That's Christ. That's why I almost preached on it. We were talking about Christmas here, the fact that he was born, right? But this, it's a lot more extensive, so I didn't really want to get into that, right? But this is, these are the things that that Mary would have understood, the fact that they're looking for the Messiah. They want the Messiah to come. And here this, this angel was talking about messianic things, the Messiah things. And guess what? It had been 400 years since there was any prophecy that was given to Israel. 400 years. You know, we look and we think our country started, what, 200 and some odd years ago? Not 400. 200 and some, and I can't think back 400 years. All right, so for 400 years, God had been silent to Israel, hadn't given them any prophecy. And now, suddenly, Zacharias had Gabriel come, and now Mary had Gabriel. This was only the second time in over 400 years that there was prophecy given And this was amazing. This was amazing to them. So all of this had happened, right? So this whole prophecy had been given. He's going to reign. He's going to begin that at that point. We know at the end of the tribulation. And be over the house of Jacob, which is Israel. So the obvious reference here is to the Messiah. Mary was becoming even more overwhelmed. God was asking Mary to be a part of something amazing. Part of something from prophecy. God was asking this 12 or 13-year-old girl to be part of that. And even here, all the other, there's so many prophecies in the Old Testament that were being confirmed in what he was saying. We looked at that last week from Revelation, but we looked at some of those Old Testament prophecies. But Mary was experiencing the fulfillment of prophecy. It's scary. Scary for her, and yet it's exciting. But yet, it's so scary. So how does she handle it? Well, we'll see that next week, right? It's amazing how she handles this, but we'll look at that next week. But the question then I come up with was, what has God chosen for us? Because guess what? He has chosen us to fulfill prophecy, too. He's chosen us to fulfill. Because what prophecy do we have in the Old Testament? Well, we have the fact that God is going to bless the nations through Abraham. How? Well, he's going to be giving the power of God, which is the gospel, to the nations. So that all people can have a relationship with him, not just Israel, but everyone. You don't have to be a Jew to be saved. Isn't that amazing? And guess what? We get the opportunity to share that. We have the opportunity to share the gospel, the truth of the gospel. We not only have the fact of his coming, Christmas, but we also have the reason behind his coming. You know, Christmas is the most celebrated holiday in the world. All the world. Christmas is the most celebrated holiday. And we have the reason that Christ came. Most people don't realize that it's not, I don't want to say this wrong, it's not just about a person. It's about God incarnate. It's about Jesus being the Christ. Not Jesus being the baby, but Jesus being the Christ. The Messiah, the one who came to save us from our sin. It's about the beginning of salvation's plan. You know, we have this truth to share. We are ambassadors of Christ. We are the ones begging others to be reconciled to God. God has reconciled them to himself. But you know, we look at Mary and we say, oh, we're so envious of Mary. I mean, you know, because God chose her to have the baby, you know. So she stands out so much. She's been given such grace. She's so well known. God selected her. But, you know, there's only one other place in Scripture that, remember that greeting? He said, greetings, favored one, in verse 28. The word favored one means total, complete grace given to you on an ongoing basis. That same word is used only one other time in Scripture. It's found in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. And guess what it says? To the praise and the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. The word freely bestowed there is that same exact word, which he favored on us in the beloved. In other words, you and I, if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have the exact same grace that was given to Mary. You have the exact same favor that was given to Mary, only for a different purpose. I guarantee you will not conceive and bear the Son of God. That's not your purpose. That's not his plan for you. Right? Your purpose will include another way that God uses you, but it's the same grace that he gives you. And we tend to, you know, say, oh, but she was so blessed. But you know what Jesus said about that in Luke chapter 11, verse 27 and 28? When Jesus was saying these things, one of the women in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which you, at which you nursed." In other words, blessed is your mother. And guess what Jesus said? But he said, "On the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it." Jesus himself didn't lift her up. Jesus himself said, you know what? She is fulfilling the plan that God had for her, just like those who hear the word of God and obey it fulfill the plan God has for them. Isn't that amazing? That we have a plan, that God has a plan for us, and it includes gracing us the same way, but for a different purpose, as he graced Mary. You know what that may mean sometimes, though? How did Mary's grace look? Unwed pregnancy, hard. How does your grace look? Is what you are going through hard? Sometimes very difficult? That may be God's grace in your life so that you can touch others the way Mary has touched others in her life. Isn't that amazing? I can't tell you what God's plan is for you. God can. God can move in your heart. And all we do is simply follow. We just obey. We just follow. What did he say to this gal? He said, "Blessed is the one who hears the word and obeys it." Blessed is the one who follows. Because that's all Mary did. And we'll get to that next week. We'll look at her response because it's amazing. It is amazing. But she simply followed. She trusted. What do? We come across a problem and say, "Wait a second, God. I didn't plan for this. I didn't sign up for this one." I love that phrase. "I didn't sign up for this." Baloney. When you trust Christ, you sign up for whatever God has for you. And you know what? It may not have anything to do with you. May have nothing to do with you. I don't think, the Messiah coming from Mary did have something to do with Mary, right? But had just as much to do with us. God blessed us through Mary. And he can bless you through me even, which is crazy. And he can bless me through you. And he can bless others that don't know Christ through you. Because our One of the plans, I'll go with that. One of the plans God has for you and for me, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, one of the plans he has for you is to share the truth, is to share the gospel, the power of God unto salvation. That's what the gospel is, the good news. That's just one of the plans. I don't know what other plan he has for you. But whatever it is, he had a plan. I don't say this wrongly. I pray that you don't take this wrongly. He had a plan for Steve's first wife, Heidi. And it included me. I was desperate in need of encouragement at the time that she gave me so much encouragement, and what she was going through was so harsh. And she died. She was going through that cancer that was so harsh. But I was in a position where I had just taken over the church and I was floundering. Anyway, I was messed up. Never get those words right. One of them's a fish, I know. But I was a mess. Right? I was a mess. But I'd go over there every Saturday night and I would pray with them and I was so encouraged. Her grace in blessing me was not fun. It was not a fun thing to go through. But I can't wait to get to heaven to thank her. Can't wait. But you know what? Your grace might not be a fun thing to go through. But let God lead and simply follow. Keep trusting. But the only start for that is to have salvation. To know you have a relationship with God. Not a religion. Relationship with God. If you've never trusted Christ as your Lord, your Savior, please do so today. It's not hard. It's an open invitation. He says it's a free gift. Wages of sin, that's death. Free gift of God, eternal life. But it's through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's not through us. I would invite you today to come to know Christ. I'd love to show you. You find a Christian here, they'll show you the same thing. They'll tell you the same thing. Just simply turn your life over to Him. And if you have done that, if you are a Christian, then know this. The grace that God gives you may not be easy, but it's from Him. What He allows in your life is maybe to build you, it may be to build someone else, it may be to show someone else your trust in Him. I don't know. I can't tell you. But I do know this. God will bless you in the midst of that. That blessing may not be what we think of as blessing. It may be like Heidi, which was hard. And yet, it was perfect. I don't understand how it was completely perfect, but it was. Because I trust the God who allowed it. And I'll tell you, there was an amazing, amazing amount of gospel given forth by that woman. An amazing amount. All right? Mary here, scared to death. She's going to react in an amazing way. But it's the same way that we should really be reacting. We'll find that out next week. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you again for this truth from your word. The grace doesn't have to be easy, Lord. Grace just needs to be from you. And the fact that we have that same grace given to us, we have the same fulfillment of promise, just in a different way. Lord, what you are doing through us is important. It's vital. And yet, Lord God, we don't think it's that important. Well, Mary was still pondering the importance of that. In fact, it wasn't until she went to see Elizabeth, her relative, who had John inside of her. It wasn't really until then that she really started to understand the full scope of it. And she was overwhelmed even then. But Father God, for a 12 or 13-year-old to get this kind of information had to blow her mind. And yet, she had the same opportunity that we do to say, Father, it's your plan. I just want to follow your plan. Thank you so much for giving us that grace. We love you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Would you take your hymn book? Hymn number 1.